If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
L. Yup,
that's who you think it is. The Grimace mug. The Hello Kitty keychain. Barbie herself. For a limited time, your favorite McDonald's collectibles filled with memories and magic are now on collectible cups. Get one of six when you order a collector's meal at McDonald's with your choice of a Big Mac or 10-piece McNuggets. Come get your cup while you still can. And participate in McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You've been hoping to see the light. Your words of light keep holding on. 'Cause it's golden and he is calling you, calling you. You're chosen.
All right, everybody, I want to thank you all for joining us again for another episode of the Servant Leader Coach's Bible Study. I am your host, Coach Chelsea, and I'm super excited, guys. Oh my goodness, we have been, if you're just now tuning in with us, we have been truly celebrating our 3 years of this podcast. We started out in the midst of the pandemic. It started as a 7-day Bible plan on servant leadership and serving and leading like Christ. And then we said, this can't stop. And now we look up and it's 3 years and 3 years strong. And as we continue to move in this and celebration and just continue to sharpen the iron of myself and others that we bring on, we have a servant leader on today that I just know for a fact, it was not by happenstance. It was not by accident that we crossed paths. It is such an amazing blessing when you're able to connect with people who you've been kind of praying on a certain topic, you've been praying for, you know, certain answers for people that you talk with in the day to day, and then the answers just kind of fall in your lap. And today's servant leader is amazing. We talked a little bit before we came on and, you know, talking a little sports talk even. So we have servant leader Charles Utter with us today. He is a former coach of basketball, cross country, track. He is also an author. He has so many things that he's going with, and I'm going to let him share that with you all. But more than anything, you all, he's going to bring a spin today that I truly have been praying for in this fourth quarter that we've been talking about. So more than anything, Charles, I want to say this to you. I thank you for your time. Time is one of those things that once it's given, I can't give it back. And I think it's a precious gift. And I thank you for sharing that gift along with your presence today. So I'm going to pass the torch to you to say hello to our listeners. We're going to get this conversation started.
Well, hello. And thank you for that wonderful introduction, Chelsea. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I don't know how in depth you want to go, but I always tell everybody I'm just the average guy. who had an experience that is maybe a little bit unusual, but I was one of probably 2,500 people who had that experience, or maybe not quite that many, but was fortunate to be able to get stories from people that had experienced some really awful things. With a priest who, other than the fact that he was an abuser of women mostly, well, exclusively women, fortunately for us boys, he wasn't after us. But anyway, was a really outstanding person, other than the fact that he was an abuser. My story called Roman Collar Crime, the transgressions of a small town priest was just an amazing story, because this was a town of 1,000 people in southwestern North Dakota that had a high school, a Catholic high school of 250 kids. It was a boarding school, so about half the kids that went there were lived on farms and there was a significant distance away or other small towns around there. And so you wouldn't expect that the kinds of things that happened would be possible in a small community like that, but they were. And the essence of the story is that the reason that this activity was enabled was because people were true believers. The Catholics in this community were traditional Catholics. They loved their priests no matter who they were, and they would not believe anything negative about their priests. In fact, if stories began to circulate, and it was the kids that circulated, and the parents would never talk about something like this, but the stories that circulated were just never believed by the parents. In fact, if I would ever say anything at home, I was disciplined immediately. You do not talk about a priest like that. And so he was able to get away with his activities for 20 years. So this priest came into our community in 1954 when I was 8 years old. And he had his first child in 1955. And he's a Catholic priest. So they're celibate, right? No, not this one. And unfortunately, one of the reasons that this book is important is because there's too many of them that purport to be celibate but aren't. A child right away, and he started abusing women in the parish, broke up 5 marriages that I know of. He would reward his young ladies that wanted to become nuns with a rewards trip to hotels that he owned in Disneyland. How did he get the money to buy hotels? He stole it from the offertory. Now, you can't get much out of an offertory in a town of 1,000 people, with mostly farmers, okay, and small business people. Mm-hmm. But he was fortunate to have a friend who was the financial advisor, the advisor for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, who was acquainted with Joseph Kennedy. And Joseph Kennedy, JFK's father, mm-hmm. was not an honest man. He was pumping and dumping oil stocks in Alaska in a fraudulent activity. And this priest was able to invest there and made a fortune in a very small period of time, and was one of the key people who got out ahead of the crash. And then he took his money and he invested it in, I can't think of the company right now, but it was the company that invested the, invented the birth control pill. Mm-hmm. And here's a Catholic priest. Birth control is a mortal sin, and he's investing in the birth control pill, and he tripled his money in 3 years. And so he was able to take those dollars, and once Kennedy was out of the oil business, he learned the real estate business from the Catholic hierarchy. They were always top-notch in real estate, and the church has a reputation for holding some significant real estate properties around the country and around the world. And so he learned the real estate business, and this priest learned it as well. And so he was able to acquire 12 hotels over his lifetime, and the girls that he took to the hotels in Disneyland that he owned, three of them, were taken advantage of. And I learned this from his sister-in-law. He had hired his brother to run his hotel empire, and his sister-in-law was familiar with what was going on whenever the priest brought these girls in to the hotels. And she really hated the guy. And she talked nonstop. I think I had a three-hour conversation with her or something before her son said, "Stop talking to that guy." But I had all the information I needed. So anyway, I had multiple resources, and one of the things that you'll find really interesting is the guy, as I said, he was pretty smart. He needed to hide the rumors, mm-hmm. Stifle the rumors. And since he had a lot of money, he went out and he hired rock star athletic coaches.
Mm.
And he paid them inordinate amounts of money, mm-hmm. like five times what they could earn anyplace else, and brought them into the community. Now, the first one was named Ron Earhart, and he's my high school football coach, who ended up being the head coach of the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about quality coaches, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, he was only 26 at the time, and it was first head job, but still, he had a reputation as a college football player and as an assistant at a big school in North Dakota. So he was paid those dollars, and he ended up leaving town with a 25-game winning streak. I had two high school basketball coaches. One was his cousin. Again, paid inordinate amounts of money to attract him to come to this small town. And he ended up sleeping with his wife, got caught, and the coach grabbed his gun, and he was going to shoot him. But small town cop was able to get there about the same time that he was. He did. They went to the parish house to confront the priest, and they were able to talk him out of it. But nobody ever found out about this. So this is a big deal, and mm-hmm. nobody found out about it. Then he, of course, left, and the next coach came out of Billings, Montana. He had the best record in basketball and football in the history of high school sports in Montana. And he was able to get him to come to this small town and coach the basketball team, and future coaches as well. And we were in the state tournament every year, and our football team hardly ever lost a game, and we had wrestling teams that won state titles, and it was, the people fell in love with this priest. I mean, more so than because he was a priest, because he was able to bring all of these awesome teams into the community and basically put it on the map. So that's you know, kind of how he was able to get away with all of this for 20 years, even though the assistant priests that were in the community and teaching in the school would go to the bishop, because they would find out about these rumors. And, you know, I don't know if you know how much you know about the Catholic Church, but there we have something called confession.
Mm-hmm.
And I was made to go to confession every week. And if you didn't go to confession, you were in sin, mortal sin. And you were condemned until you went to confession and confessed it. So these women, when they were trying to limit the size of their family, would use birth control. And again, that's against the law. It's just mortal sin. They confessed it, and the priest had that information.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically used that information to continue his perpetrations in the community. And mm-hmm. and the assistant pastors were the same. So they went to the bishop, and the bishop would hear their stories, politely say, tell them to go back to the community, keep their mouth shut, and mind their own business.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally knew four of those priests, and it was the fifth one that finally said to the bishop, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to stop. This has got to be exposed, and that person's got to be removed from the priesthood. Well, that started a five-year process where my sister joined with this priest and five or six other people in the community, and they worked basically against this pastor or against this bishop for that period of time, and ultimately were successful, but only because.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
If you know about Catholic schools, you know, especially in the past, who taught in those Catholic schools. They were nuns. They were holy women. But they were human beings. And if they got disenchanted, they could, you know, be human.
Mm-hmm.
And the priest got caught having sex with two of the nuns that were teaching at the school. And when that was exposed, the bishop had no choice, because the head of the convent, the Mother Superior, and it was in Mankato, Minnesota, she put pressure on the bishop, and they were able to finally get rid of this priest.
If you're taking the AP Environmental Science exam.
Sorry about that.
So anyway, that's the story of the book, and you know, it's historical fiction. I didn't know all of the details of all of these events, but I knew of the events that occurred, and I made up the way he died. I personally had some issues. I don't know how much that had formed me, because I think. Mm. I always said that he piled on to the things that my dad had done to me. And so I'm not sure how much the priest negatively impacted me, but I was a basketball star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think some of the guys that hear this might question that. I was the only sophomore that made the varsity, and we went to state, took second the year I played as a sophomore. And I was a sixth man, and one night, two of the starting guards got sick, And so I played. And one of the reasons I was a great player is because I could shoot lights out. And I was exceptionally hot that night. And the coach would call timeout and he'd get the players to run plays to feed me the ball. And I scored 32 points that night. You know, I was proud. The coach was excited. My teammates were excited. But the priest had watched the game from the bleachers. He comes down into the coach's office after the game and just lights into him. And we could hear the conversation because it was so loud. He was screaming at the coach. And the problem was that he had allowed a little bitty sophomore to excel when the team was made up of really outstanding senior players. Of course, two of them were out that day. But anyway, he then took and wrote this criticism and posted it on the bulletin board in the school where everybody had to pass by when they changed classes and things like that. And the other thing was that I was, you know, maybe one of the reasons he came down on me so hard was because I was a rebel. One of his rules was no steady dating. You couldn't go out with a girl more than three times in a row without being classified as steady dating. Mm-hmm. And I got a girlfriend in the summer after our eighth grade. We dated for 5 years. It was steady dating exclusively, okay?
That was steady.
And he suspended us in our freshman year, our sophomore year, and our senior year. And the only reason he didn't suspend us in our junior year is because he had a bad car accident and he was out for a year. Otherwise, we probably would have gotten thrown out of school. But I eventually broke up with this girl in a way. She was as pure as the driven snow. We had a purely platonic relationship that entire time. And when we were freshmen in college, I went out to visit her and she said she's breaking up with me. And it was in the weirdest way. I didn't understand it. And then she contacted my best friend and a great friend of hers from high school, which is a year or so later after she got out and started teaching. And she basically solicited sex from him. And when he tells me that when she first started, you know, mentioning that, he was laughing at her because he knew that wasn't her.
Mm-hmm.
But she talked him into it. So, you know, how men are. They can only resist so much, you know. And when it's laid out there in front of you, well, he explained that to me, and he said she was not a virgin. So here's a girl that was suspended from high school for three times. Each time she was in his house, being lectured to and getting her punishment. I was taken into the school office to get my lecture. She went into his house. What happened there? You know, anybody knows. So I don't have 100% certainty that that happened, but I'm pretty sure it did. So that was the impacts from my standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I kind of gloried in the fact that when I started coaching, one of the teams that I couldn't wait to play was my former high school. And unfortunately, I came up a game short because we lost a game when we thought we were going to advance. And so I never had the opportunity, but it was close.
Been there. Definitely yeah. Been there. And, yeah. You know, Charles, it's crazy because if you're just tapping in and you're listening, you know, one of the things I was telling Charles is that this comes at a time that we've been talking about the fourth quarter, you know, how to serve, how to lead for, you know, the return of Christ. And in these last moments and times where it's truly being evident that trying to get individuals who have had church hurt of some form. That's one of the main things that I often hear is, you know, I'm not going to church because XYZ, or no, I had a pastor or a priest or a bishop who XYZ, or no, it was this and that and XYZ. And so this came at a time wherein it is hard when, you know, when you take religion and you take any type of faith-based leader, and you place your trust in them, because it is one of those things that you said, like growing up, we expect, and the hope is that based off of their leadership, that they are leading and guiding us in the way that we should go. And when that trust is broken, right, it is probably one of the single most hurtful things, right, that comes even outside of a parent, outside of blood family, because you truly do lean in on these spiritual leaders. And so one of the things that I kind of have here, and we've been talking about, and I want to ask you, which is a key point that your book explains, but how does one replace blind faith with a healthy approach to organizational loyalty? After all of these things that you've mentioned within this book and things that you even experienced yourself, talk a little bit to our listeners about kind of how to navigate through that once some of that hurt has taken place and our faith has been crushed and broken.
Well, you know, there is a positive to this kind of black and white faith that you're introduced to as a young person. And that, you know, you never quite quit believing in God. You know, you might not like a priest or the rules or whatever, but trust me, a huge percentage of the kids that went to this school over that 20-year period fell away from the church, let's call it that, okay? And many of them just quit going to church at all. And many of them have not come back. My mother was, just a rigid Catholic. She was a good Catholic mother. I mean, she helped us pay attention to the doctrine and the rules. And we went to church every Sunday. I went to church every day for years because I was in the school, and I taught in a Catholic school for 5 years. But because of all of this, as I went off to college, I really became an atheist. And so for that period of time, I just didn't believe at all. And it was due to the fact that I had the experience of living with this priest, and I just couldn't make the connection between God and a servant of so-called servant of God. It just didn't work for me. But I went to a Catholic college, so I was still around the religion. And then I graduated and I went to teach in a Catholic high school. Again, I was going to mass every day. The priest there, though, ended up being my best friend. And he did more good for me than anybody in my life experience. And I'm so thankful for him. He's no longer with us, and of course, that helped me then as I got married and started to think about family, ask me myself, well, what am I going to do with my children? You know, is there an aspect of the faith that, really helps you get through these difficult times? And I concluded that there was. And so I raised them as Catholics. I became Mr. Catholic. I started going to church every Sunday. I started receiving the sacraments, and I volunteered for the parish council. So I served on the parish council. We had a school that I sat on the school board. And then over time, as time went on, you know, I had faith, I was practicing it, but in my heart, it wasn't enough. And about 18 years ago, I was introduced to something called centering prayer. The person that's behind that, that spread that message, was Thomas Keating. He's got 20 books out there, and you should read the first couple of them and really learn about this centering prayer thing, because it's a meditative prayer where you learn to sit in silence, and what it amounts to is listening to the Holy Spirit, receiving inspiration from the Holy Spirit. Now, you don't hear the Holy Spirit talk, but your life experiences presents events that are just obviously impacted by the Holy Spirit. Changes that so surprise you, positive changes that so surprise you that you know that it's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so I sit in prayer for half an hour every day. I'd like to do more if I could, but I'm a busy man. And that's not a good excuse, by the way.
Been there, Charles. Been there. Been working on that.
It's a fact. But, it's had a major impact on my life. And so, and it's introduced me to scripture. We do something called Lectio Divina, which is reading scripture passages on and meditating on them and trying to pick out the phrase or words that are most meaningful at the time. And so you get to understand scripture in a way that you never could by just reading the Bible. I actually have read the Bible from cover to cover, which is kind of my style, but I didn't get much out of it then, but I'm sure happy about what I'm learning in Lectio Divina and centering prayer. And it's made a huge difference in my life. And so I feel like at my older age here, I'm pretty much getting past all this the stuff that, you know, had happened to me as a youth and happened to my contemporaries and my family and all of that. So
I think that's awesome. And I laugh though, because, you know, one of those things that I've been working on much like you, because we are busy, right? And that's been one of my...
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Goals is just to continue to be intentional. And that's what you've definitely explained. I sat here and I made those notes for myself, is the intentionality of just taking a moment and stealing away. As my grandmother used to always say, stealing away and just standing still and letting the Holy Spirit speak to us, you know. I'll never forget this. It was explained to me, and it was like, you know, prayer is a conversation. Truly, a lot of times, especially for a person that is new to the faith and new to prayer, it's made this big, grandioso gesture, and it intimidates people. But one of the things I've learned for a long time now, and this was so golden, this individual said to me, he said, you know, prayer is a conversation. Right. And so I'm sitting here talking to you. And after you said everything you said, imagine me getting up and just walking away. You probably sit and look at this computer and say, well, who is this Chelsea girl y'all told me I needed to talk to? Right. But we do that so often. Right. Like we pray and we say amen. And then we get up and we go on about our day. But then it's like, OK, well, I've done that. But I don't know. The Holy Spirit didn't speak to me. And I'll never forget this minister said to me, he said, but did you sit and listen when it was your turn to listen? And then from that moment, I've been very intentional, much like what you're talking about, even in my business. You know, I have a one-year-old. She's my first little person. And so that was even an adjustment to my days and spending time, you know, just in my word and in my secret moments of devotion. So it is one of those things that I've definitely learned to practice, but we're busy. But you said it best, that intentionality is what I love that you've spoken out about.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I hear more and more, and definitely gonna, you know, delve into this book, but, you know, speaking to the listeners and those that are listening, you know, later, how do we, I want to go here. how do we work on building that trust back? You know, you just spoke about that you did. I mean, you know, you went through a period of time where you didn't believe, you know, and thankfully with the right people that came along your path, you know, you got back on the right path. And, you know, especially for, you know, your children and, you know, that's huge, imparting that. And so getting back in your faith and now practicing and being in that space again. How would one, servant leaders, those that have had, you know, maybe their faith broken, how can they work to build that faith back, not only in those that, you know, in leadership, but in, you know, faith and in God themselves?
Well, that, you know, that's a tough question because everybody is so different. But I think that by and large, it's life circumstances. You know, if you've got any background of Christianity, Bible, or whatever, you've always got this image of God. And there's so many things that happen that are not explainable in any way, except that it's got to be from God. And I was just at a retreat, for example, for 4 days, and it was a silent retreat. And I read a book called Understanding God as God Is. And I have never been so challenged in my life as to understand and to accept God as God is, because God can give you some great things. I mean, some people get enrichment, you know, financial enrichment. Some people get emotional enrichment. These are all good things that are coming down from on high. But then at the same time, you can always expect the challenges as well. And, you know, what God is love. He wants us to manifest love, and learning to trust him unconditionally is the key to, you know, to moving forward. Now, how does this happen for more and more people? I like to say to people, and it's a tough sell. Read Thomas Keating. Consider centering prayer, because it's going to be a kind of commitment to God and to self that you probably hadn't considered before. There's not going to be any mandates or any rules or any really discussion of sin. He talks about a true self, which is the way we are born. God makes, we're all born perfectly, but because of inadequate nurturing, we begin to develop systems, compensation systems, that we use to try to get our way, to get better nurturing. And we get invested in those systems, and it builds what he calls a false self. And those are the false self. When we act out of the false self, that's what creates anger. It's what creates dishonesty. All the sins come from the false self. And so in this meditative prayer, the Holy Spirit helps you work through this false self. And eventually it just kind of, it's the word I want to use. It works itself out. Okay. It kind of goes away. Not completely, but to a great extent. Well, I'll give you an example. I've been praying for about 2 or 3 years and going to a prayer group and things like that. And, and I was a highly volatile, very angry person. In fact, I was so reactive that I told my priest friend that I had never sinned, because if you had to recognize that it was wrong and do it anyway, that wasn't me. I never had time to think about it. It was a total reaction. It was extreme, and it created problems. And when I would get in an argument with my wife, it would manifest itself in the worst of ways, because I was going to win the argument no matter what. And the best way to do that was shout her down. And so one night we're getting into one of these tiffs, and all of a sudden she said something that would have just gotten me going big time. And I didn't say a word. Mm-hmm. And immediately I thought to myself, it's working. Oh my God. It's working.
Yes.
And it hasn't been a straight line, you know, progress, right. But, you know, it's just really transformed my life. And so I think that, you know, sitting in silence and kind of listening rather than asking for things, rather than presenting problems, because God's not going to give you everything you want. That's He's right. going to give you everything you need.
Come on. Yeah.
And so that's what I would recommend as far as, you know, how do I lead people to that? Well, I'm involved in the introduction of centering prayer to groups of people. So I do part of the presentation. I've facilitated classes on centering prayer, and I think those are all positive things. I'm currently encouraged in a program in one of the Catholic schools in the Denver area, because I think that, you know, the centering prayer movement is made up of people who have suffered, you know, they've lived their life, and like me, they said to themselves at some point, man, there's got to be something better than this out there, you know, and they gradually came to this new way of thinking about God and praying, but they're old, they might have some influence in their family if they're willing to let themselves advocate, but we need young people. Mm-hmm. And this is very difficult for old people, much less young people, because it's not the fallback position that a young person is going to take when he begins to struggle with life. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we see that on our streets these days, kids going out and going crazy in the streets and doing things that God Almighty, they would have never done. And in fact, if you were with them one-on-one in the family, they probably wouldn't think of it doing it, you know, in that respect either. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy. So we need to find some way of introducing these kinds of things, this special love relationship with God, and teach young people and all people to manifest love in ways that have never been done before by the masses. You know, this shouldn't be just a few really saintly people who are effectively manifesting love around the world. It should be the majority of us, as many of us as we can marshal, and the world will then change.
That's so good. Oh my gosh, that is so good. And, you know, I was sitting here smiling really big because there's always moments, right, that God shows himself every day for me, but in these calls. And those that are continuous listeners knows that one of my favorite, you know, devotional type moments for myself to spend with God is called My God Is Devotional. So when you said that, I was smiling really big because one of the practices that I like to do, sometimes I get a chance to write it down. Oftentimes I don't, because there's a little person that's occupying my hands. But what I'll do is, you know, and you know this to be true, just in our days, and we're not perfect. You know, there's moments where, you know, we may fall short, or, you know, because we're going through something, we forget the goodness of him, right? And God, My God Is Devotional, it centers me, kind of like your center in prayer. It centers me because it allows me to know what he is, right? You all, you know, you said something that was really huge, that a lot of times we pray in asking, right? But that centering prayer allows us to legitimately be in a space to recognize him for who he is and listen to him and be in his presence. And that's what My God Is Devotional does. And I'll say, like, God is, and I'll just go in a moment of just thinking of all the things he is, right? Not in my moments of because he gave and answered my prayer, right? Because like you said earlier, which was big, he doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need, right? And my God is devotional is something I like to hear from servant leaders, because I'll say God is, and I'll let it just keep going, right? He's this, he's my healer. He's this, you know? And of course, I'm not going to give you a list. We're going to make it a little bit harder for you today. But if I were to say God is, and I drew an imaginary blank, like just right here on this screen, how would you fill that blank in this moment? God is what to you? I know it could be many things. How would you fill that blank for that space you're in right now?
You know, God is the person that heals me.
Ah, yes.
And he, through the Holy Spirit, enables me to recognize what needs to be healed. And you know, I used to have these explosions that I talked about frequently. Mm-hmm. It was, and oh man, as I began to pray, they started to go away, these big ones, and I haven't had a big explosion for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it took 12 years for that to go away, a prayer. But now it's gone. Unfortunately, the little ones are still there. But I believe that the Holy Spirit keeps, you know, trying to, it just keeps knocking on the door and say, hey, this is what we can do together. Let's get to work on it. And yeah. So I really think that's the key, is to trust. You know, I don't think you're going to ever be able to explain real well who God is and how you relate to God. You just have to trust. You have to just know that he's there, that he exists, that he's love. He is love and trust. And if you do that, you'll ignore the bad things that happen to you. You'll, you know, appreciate the great things that happen to you. And you'll understand that in the mix, you're gradually becoming a better person for all of that.
I think that's so awesome. I think that is so awesome. And that is right on time. The specificity of that, right? That not only is God the person that heals me, but through the Holy Spirit, he helps me to see what needs to be healed. That is so big. Like, I'm going to tell you why that's big, right? Because so often, and you know this to be true, right? We feel that we know the answer, right? We'll go, we'll pray to God about the things that we need. And then we step out there. Coach Corey Close at UCLA for the women's basketball team. She said, she opened up when she came on and she said, you know, it's my deepest prayer that I'm able to give it all to God. But my biggest prayer is that I don't try to take it back. And so often we do that, right? It's unintentional on my part, at least, but we do, we pray and then we start to move our feet. Like, well, God, I'm just trying to help you out a little bit. And it's like, God's like, I don't need an assistant coach. I got it, right? I know how to delegate. But one of the things that's amazing about it is the Holy Spirit, right? Is his assistant coach. And what it allows us to do is, much like you said, it gives us that presence of mind to know exactly where I need him to fall in my life. And I think that was so huge, because it's one thing to say, I know he's a healer. But sometimes, and I do this, I can only speak for me, but I know people do this all the time. We know what he's capable of, but we don't give him everything. Like, we try to limit him a lot. Coach Yo at Ole Miss, she always says no ceilings, right? No ceilings. Right. And it's so amazing, because that's how God is. There's no ceilings. There's no barrier or boundary or anything they can't do. And so when you mentioned that, you said it helps, that Holy Spirit allows me to see what actually needs to be healed, because he can't come into a place that we don't invite him to. And often we do that, right? We'll say, God, I need you, but then we shut ourselves off.
Yeah.
We say, God, I need you, but we get up from the conversation. Go ahead.
Yeah, Thomas Keating, in his discussion of the true self and false self, you know, the false self is the self that we create and we're invested in. We think that that's who we are. But in order to make progress, we have to give up some of that false self, eventually all of that false self. And how many people want to give up who they think they are?
Mm-hmm.
They're in love with what they think they are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough process. You got to really, again, I go back to the word trust. You got to trust that, hey, this is going to be hard. I'm going to be a different person. I may lose some of the attributes that I really think are great about me, because they're not really great, but I think they are. And I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, as those kind of get recognized and revealed to you, then you make this progress that is so rewarding.
So awesome. You know, as we kind of start to close this thing in, you know, I'm still just in awe though of this book. And I want you to take a little bit of time and let our listeners know where they can actually go to purchase this book. And then I want you to lead a little bit further into what do you want the reader to ultimately get out of this story that you so courageously were able to give an account of?
Well, what was the first part of the, question?
Just let them know where they can grab the book.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, I tend not to be a self-promoter, so I forget to talk about where you can buy the book. And of course, it's on Amazon. You can, your bookstore can buy it on, can't think of the place though.
Barnes and Noble, Books a Million.
Yeah, you can get it on Barnes and Noble. Yeah, but anyway, it's available on Kindle and paperback on Amazon. It's $12.95 for the paperback, $4.95 I think for the Kindle. I'd appreciate it if you go there. You'll love the book if you read the reviews. There's significant numbers of reviews there, and they're overwhelmingly 5-star. So I think that's proof positive that people are enjoying this book. And the reason that I think it's so important and what people should get from it is the fact that a rigid belief in something is a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
An unwillingness to stay open to influences that might change the way you think or the way you think of somebody is so important, because, you know, it wasn't just this priest, it was the Catholic Church. And I'm thinking that there's a lot of fundamentalist faiths, Baptists, that have very rigid doctrine, that if you don't believe, you're not, you know, a true Christian or whatever. And that leads to blind faith. Mm-hmm. And that's why this priest was able to get away with everything that he got away from. And he hurt a lot of people. And that was another reason that I wanted to write the book, is because all the stories you hear are about individuals who have had these bad experiences. You don't often hear about the multiples of people that individual priests might hurt. And this person hurt a lot of people. When you read the book, you'll find out that he did a lot of traveling. He got around the country a lot, partly because of his hotels. So he was gone for long periods of time. And there's a very good indication that while he was gone, he was perpetrating on, any woman that he could influence while he was traveling. And so he may have had hundreds of victims. I don't know if that's true, but it's very possible. And so, that rigid black and white faith that we had in our priests was not rewarded, well rewarded. It should have given us some skepticism. I mean, what's happened and what's been revealed should make us skeptical. But that doesn't really mean that God is bad. It's just that we're unable to think things through and separate individuals from, you know, the church. Now there's so much more I could talk about, because this whole thing with the Catholic priests getting away for years and years with all this is so much due to the hierarchical nature of the Catholic Church. I can do a whole program on that myself.
You more than likely could. But I love how you literally summed it up so perfectly. The true message and why I'm so thankful that God saw fit for us to have this conversation is that, yes, this hurt does happen within the church, and individuals can do a lot of hurt and corruption, right? That stand in the place of, you know, religious leaders that, you know, we trust and place our faith in. But one of the things that you said that oh my God, was perfect in the whole explanation and reason for this call is that does not at all give a definition to what and who God is. And so for the individual listening, whoever it may be, right, I hope that at some place in your heart, even if not for today, that the account from Servant Leader Charles Utter, you know, allows you to see, y'all probably hear my baby girl Hendrix, she's trying to get a word in. but I hope you all in all seriousness see that, yes, it's not a hiding of these things that may happen in the church. It's not anybody trying to brush under the rug, right? Servant leadership in true form and action is really what you did today. But I never wanted to override the goodness of who God is in that pain. And so I'm so thankful for your message. I'm so thankful for your courage to give the account in this book. I will make sure, definitely going to make sure that I place the links and everything in the show notes so that anybody that would like to go and purchase that can do that. But Mr. Charles, I just want you to know that it's been an honor and a pleasure. And I definitely want to still stay connected with you, because it truly takes individuals like yourself to definitely place the truth in action, but also show that redemption story. That even in our pain and even the things that may move us from God, that there is a return, there is a centering, not only in prayer, but in the Holy Spirit guiding us and moving us. So I truly thank you for joining me today.
Thank you. I actually would just really enjoy getting to know you better and have more interaction with you.
Likewise. Cool. Likewise. Thank you so much. And, you know, for our listeners, as we begin to close here, my biggest prayer before we close out in prayer is that as you move through and we talk to amazing servant leaders like Mr. Charles today, you will find that it isn't by happenstance. Just like I said on the beginning of this call in us meeting, it isn't by accident that these connections happen to these servant leaders around the world, because maybe, just maybe, it is the conversation you need to hear. It's that one-liner you might need to hear. It's that, you know, that quote or whatever the case may be that you need to hear that allows you to allow the Holy Spirit, much like Charles Utter said today, to help you see what needs to be healed. So before we get out, if you all would just bow your heads, unless you're driving, we're going to say a quick prayer. Lord, we just thank you. We always thank you for your time. We thank you so much just for these connections. We know and we thank you just for your power to be able to connect dots and close circles to get your message across, rather it be one, rather it be 1,000, whatever the case may be. I ask, Lord God, that you continue to be that same healer that Servant Leader Charles Utter mentioned today to those that are in pain. to those that have had an experience hurt within the church, for those that may have decided to move away and that their faith that was broken by someone allowed their faith to be removed in you. And so we're asking that, Lord, you allow us to continue to be lights as we move and navigate in our writing, in our podcasts, in our coaching, in our walks of life, in our families, so that those that may not know you or those that may have drifted because of the pain, that they can see the light, Lord God, and travel back to you again. We thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this chance meeting. We thank you for this hour. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for that, Chelsea. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, my favorite line of the podcast, servant leader Charles Utter, you are now a part of this servant leader family. I feel like it just got bigger and stronger because you're a part of us.
Happy to be here.
Thank you so much. I'm telling you now, I'm going to purchase the book. You all go to Amazon right now. The link, click the link in the show notes. It will be there. I'm telling you again, and something tells me, Charles, that we're going to stay connected and be talking for years to come, my friend.
That would be fantastic. You have a great rest.
You too. We thank you all for listening. We'll see
Take care, next time.
I sure will. Bye-bye now. Good night.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.